Before we begin this evening, let me just say a word or two about our upcoming meal together next Lord's Day. One wonderful thing I've noticed in the last few months as we've come together is that regardless whether it's A to J or K to Z or whatever it is, you look at the people who are doing the work, and many of them don't care what their names are or what the letters are. They just see work that needs to be done, and they pitch in. And I say that to commend you. And I say that to just to let you know that probably this Wednesday night you'll have some K to Zers work along with the A to Jers. And next week, as we're cleaning up, you'll have some A to Jers trying to help with the K to Zers. Let's be kind to that group helping. And I appreciate again all of those of you who do so much in so many ways to make things here go so very, very smoothly. This evening, I'd like to spend the majority of our time together letting the Bible speak for itself. We're going to read three passages back to back to back, two from the Old Testament and one from the New. And I think you'll see by the time we're finished with our New Testament reading how these three work together. I always appreciate the last verse of that song, God Moves in a Mysterious Way. The last verse of which says, blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. I think so many times we confuse the matter of the Bible by inserting ourselves into the text, when all along we might be better off just letting the text speak for itself. And that's what we're doing with the majority of our time this evening. The first passage, you know probably by heart. It is the book of Psalms, and we look at Psalm 23. But even if you know it, if you have a Bible handy, open up and read with me, because sometimes you can see some things with your eyes that you forget in your mind. Psalm 23, beginning at verse 1, we'll read the psalm together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And now from here, turn if you would, further into the Old Testament, into the major prophets, and the first one, Isaiah. And we'll read together another chapter of the Bible, Isaiah chapter 53. You might recall that when the Ethiopian nobleman was reading from the scripture on his chariot in the 8th chapter of Acts, and Philip comes and preaches to him Jesus, he's reading from this part of Isaiah, which we have categorized here in our English translations as the 53rd chapter. And it refers to Christ and what he would later do. Isaiah 53, beginning in verse 1. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Now that was written 600-700 years before Jesus lived. How prescient and prophetic the words. And now to the New Testament, the book of John. The book of John and chapter 10. As Isaiah spoke of the coming Messiah, the Christ, here in John 10, Christ himself is speaking. And he says, beginning at verse 1 of John 10, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are the thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling, does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." Therefore there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings. And many of them said, "He has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and It was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. For you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Now you may notice with me the connection in the first Psalm 23. The second, Isaiah chapter 53, and this third, the last, in John chapter 10. The connecting thread that joins the three of them together and binds them is this idea of the shepherd and the sheep. The overarching idea that we as sheep, as Isaiah 53, have gone astray. We so need guidance. We so need protection. We so need help. And Psalm 23 is just overflowing with those ideas of the shepherd leading us and guiding us and protecting us and watching over us. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, our fear is gone because we trust fully in the shepherd and what he provides for us. Even when in the very presence of our enemies, we in comfort and safety eat in peace because we know we're being watched over and protected by the shepherd. Well, in Isaiah 53, some hundreds of years before the coming Messiah, before Jesus lived among us, Isaiah speaks of this one who would come, and as despised and rejected and as forgotten and as crucified as he was, he did all of this and would do all of this as a shepherd, bringing the sheep back to himself, taking care once and for all of the sin problem which had from the very beginning of the Garden of Eden plagued mankind, by being wounded for the transgressors. That's you and me. Taking our sin upon himself. Even though he did no sin himself, he bore our sins upon himself. And the reason why he had to do that? Well, again, because we're sheep. And sheep tend to wander off. God gave us, as those made in his own image after his likeness, the wonderful ability to make our own minds up, to decide for ourselves. The higher-ups call it free moral agency. It just means you can make your own decisions. God doesn't make them for you. The good news is that gives us carte blanche freedom to do what we choose to do in our lives. We can make our own decisions. The bad news of that is every single one of us has, to one extent or another, made the wrong choice. We've gone down the wrong path. Some of us less so than others, some of us more so than others. None of that comparison matters because all of us have gone down the wrong road. All we as sheep have gone astray. And that's what sheep tend to do if they're not led by a shepherd. And so Jesus, in the fullness of time, comes in answer to prophecy. He comes of the Virgin Mary and lives among us, living a pure and perfect life before us. And saying, remember in Matthew 11 as that chapter ends, saying, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Come to me. Well, the image of the shepherd and sheep aren't in that passage, but the idea of the protection, provision from the Lord are. He is the way, the truth, the life. He is the one who comes from heaven to earth to live among us and die for us. He is our vicarious sacrifice. He is both the sacrificer and the sacrifice, as the writer of Hebrews puts it. And thus our problem as sheep, we'd gone astray. And now we're given a way back by Christ as shepherd, who, as we just read in John 10, as the good shepherd, lays down, gives his life for the sheep. And his words are telling and of great interest and import. When he speaks of, he says more than once this idea that his life isn't to be taken from him. He lays it down. And if he can lay it down, he can take it back up again. And that's exactly what happened. But keep in mind, when Jesus was betrayed by Judas and taken by the mob and tried unmercifully, both by the Jews and the Romans, going back and forth from one courthouse to the other, and finally then nailed upon a Roman cross, in all of that, Jesus could have called down legions of angels, and he wouldn't have needed those. He could have spoken the word and had all of that stop and all of his enemies vanquished. Those who took his life didn't realize he was in fact laying down his life. Because a good shepherd doesn't just love the sheep and protect the sheep. A good shepherd will lay down his life for the sheep. And that's what Jesus did. I sometimes wonder, as we so love Psalm 23, and we do, if we're not moved to love it even more if we put it alongside John chapter 10. Because the fullness of the 23rd Psalm, as history plays out and the cross happens, the gospel comes, and the scheme of redemption is then known as a mystery once concealed but now revealed. As all this comes into view, we realize what Psalm 23 really was meant to say and mean all along. It was just waiting for Christ to come as the good shepherd and give us what those in past ages never had. Not just hope, but a clear picture of what comes. Well, Jesus also says about himself as good shepherd, I know my sheep, and he does. And I'm known by my sheep, and he is. Is it any wonder we sing songs like, oh, how I love Jesus? Of course we do. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. Of course we sing songs like that, because how could you not love a good shepherd who does so much for his sheep? It's our blessing and, yes, our obligation as sheep to listen to the shepherd, to obey the shepherd, to submit to the shepherd. But that's the easy part. The hard part is what God has done and still does for us. May we every day of our lives give our lives in submission to him, in faith, in trusting faith to the God of heaven and Jesus Christ, his Son, as Christ is and always will be our good shepherd. And so you might consider these three passages, Psalm 23, Isaiah 53, and John 10, and in your mind, kind of put them in the same folder there, because they all work together to paint a composite picture. A wonderful tapestry, if you will, of beauty describing just God's love for us and all that should mean to us going forward. If you're here tonight and outside of Christ, come to him tonight. Or as a Christian, if you wandered off, come back. Christ is the good shepherd after all. If you need to come, come now as together we stand and sing.